Biedernego, do Biedernego Prysjanem. Ukraino, od Lublanego, do Biedernego Prysjanem. Serdzia krok i lubor, chcę to widać, bor widzą. Ukrainu, za jej wolju, za ciężki sławu, za narod. Jaremi Kuta, ty się porwali i zrujnowali carski tron. Jaremi Kuta, ty się porwali i zrujnowali carski tron. Z widziarem i dziurem, te buchni i ten demony świtą. Ukrainu, za jej wolju, za ciężki sławu, za narod.
Lively group, this is the Ukrainians, at least in English. That's the way we say it. And that is, Ukraine, Ukraina. We're sending out our hopes, our healing, and our activism. And not just to the people of Ukraine, but to all the people in Russia also who are so appalled by what's going on, who don't recognize their country and who don't accept what's going on very hard. And for people all over the world who are dealing with this kind of violence and disruption and death, and seeing their countries destroyed, their lives destroyed in so many parts of the world. So we go where we know we can get some energy, some joy, some goodwill. As Rabbi Nachman says, in times of trouble, we must fill the air with joy. What we're going to do right here, first I'm just going to send out some birthday wishes. Our good friend Helen Hill was yesterday birthday, and our good friend Todd Lippold is coming up. And my granddaughter turning 15. Happy birthday, Lena Zahara Bauer. Big thanks to all of you who generously pitched in on our pledge drive and especially gave a nod to Arts Live and Local, Sarah and Chuck, Margaret and Wayne, Charlene and Ron, Rita, aha, and Ruth, Amy, Lisa and Buzz, Bucky, Gwen and Robert, Rebecca, Janet, and Imogen. And thanks to all of you who support community radio. In case you missed the New Yorker program, you can see what's happening with Radio Ukraine. They've turned a commercial radio station into a space for resistance. And not just resistance, but assistance. People are calling in from all over saying, we need whatever it is, water, equipment, medics. And the radio station is putting the information out, and people are responding. Yeah, that's the power of radio. And especially, we don't have to switch from commercial to community because we're already there. So, my first guest has been in this business for a long time, the business of creating joy in the community, whether she's on stage, singing, dancing, wearing wigs, talking, or she's off stage directing, producing, and presidenting the Peninsula Players. So I'm welcoming Rita Smith. Hi, Rita.
Hi there, Carol.
Thanks for being here with me.
Oh, absolutely.
And I know you're on a timeline because your show is opening tonight. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. Oh, we're all very, very excited that we're finally going to be able to be on stage and entertain our audiences.
Was this some? So the play is A Bag Full of Miracles, and I'm going to ask you to tell us about it. But first, did you, did Peninsula Players prepare this play for 2020?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
We had it all set to go, and 3 days before we opened, we had to close down.
Wow.
So instead of having our final rehearsal, we had to box everything up.
Oh, gosh.
Store things away.
So frustrating.
Yes.
And of course, at that time, you didn't have a clue how long that was going to go on, right?
No, not at all.
So it's not like you could put everything away permanently. It's like, you got to be ready to go in a month or...
Yep. Yeah, we were, you know, oh, we could do it in October. Oh, we can do it in January. You know,
right. Just kept... So how did you finally decide now is the time?
Well, things have started, you know, things had started opening up, and I kind of met with the cast members. We had a few cast members that had to drop out of the cast, you know, due to various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Most of our cast members were together, and once in a while we would just have a get together and run our lines, and we just decided, if things look like they're opening up, let's go ahead and do it, and it worked out.
So, okay, yeah. So now tell us about the play.
It's produced by a production company in Portland called Art Age, and it concentrates more on the senior community theater.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And this one is called A Production in a Box, a Packet. And we were very fortunate because you buy the whole musical, scripts, music, everything, royalties, and you can do it whenever you want, how many times you want. So that was
lucky.
That was very lucky.
Mm-hmm.
The first time we'd ever done that. So that was just, you know, like timing couldn't have been better.
So did you say this is a company, a production company in Portland?
It's called Art Age, and they have, it's for senior theater, although some of our cast members are younger, and they have musicals and plays and little short skits,
mm-hmm.
And it's, like I said, it's geared toward the senior communities. And
well, but I thought I saw... photograph, and you had children.
Yes, yes. I mean, it's not completely, you know, some of them are adults, but some of the plays, this one has two children in it, which
mm-hmm.
is delightful. We're just so pleased that we have these two young, energetic
right.
running around and helping out. They're just They're just phenomenal.
I know. That can change the whole atmosphere.
Yes.
And also, I love the idea of having a multi-age group.
Exactly.
For everybody. It benefits everybody.
Yes,
And brings in a lot of people who may not have... Of course, you're in Ilwaco, which is a small community. But still, there are plenty of people who haven't gone to theater. And perhaps, you tell me if this is true, you know, their neighbor's kid is in the play suddenly. Or it's a grandmother from somewhere else. And so it does that bring new people to the theater sometimes?
A little, yes, I think so. You know, we draw from, it's amazing how many... you know, people, even people from across the river and out of town will come having either been to one of our plays. Sometimes people that are here for vacation and we,
right.
The motels have our flyers and,
good.
Well, we saw it, we decided we'd come. And so it's nice that way.
Yeah. So what is this play? And I want to tell the listeners that today is Theater Day. And you'll see what I mean. We're in Ilwaco, Washington right now at the River City Playhouse.
Yes.
And which is, did the theater come with that name or did you folks name it?
We named it. It was gifted to us a number of years ago, and it was the River City Arts and Crafts. So we wanted to keep River City, and we had had Second Story Playhouse.
Right.
In another building, so we just kind of incorporated it to become River City Playhouse.
Yeah, I keep going off on tangents, but now that you mention that, it occurs to me that you and I haven't, well, obviously we haven't spoken on the radio for 2 years, but there are people who know nothing about this theater. And apropos of what you just said, could you just let them know how it turned out that Ilwaco has this wonderful theater?
Yeah, well, the Arts and Crafts had the building, and they were disbanding, and so they had to gift it to another 501c3. And the museum next door always gets first rights of refusal, which they didn't really want it, so they offered it to us.
Wow.
And, I mean, it's a big responsibility because it's over 100 years old and constantly needing some little...
And didn't you just do some uplifts on it?
Yes.
During this time?
Yeah, and we just raised all of the money for putting heat in the back in the green room.
Mm. Oh, what a relief that will be. Yeah. It's a great little theater. But
it is.
How many seats are there?
Well, our capacity is 150 people.
Oh,
we usually,
oh, wow.
Sometimes we have sat 100, but we're keeping it down, the numbers down to a maximum of 70.
Right.
Just to keep everyone healthy. But we have really high ceilings and fans.
Right. I hadn't realized that it was 150. That's pretty big. So
yeah, it is.
Great. Okay, now let's get back on track.
Right.
A Bag Full of Miracles. Who wrote it? Where,
it's written by Tom Northam.
Okay.
And he wrote it, I think, back in 2003. And he, of course, this packet, it gives you everything from costumes to your rehearsal schedules.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So,
and wait a second. I'm a little confused. This packet is telling a bunch of seniors when to come and what, so strict.
It's mostly just for the director, and especially
okay.
If you've never directed, it kind of walks you through. I use some things I used, some things I didn't.
Okay. Now, I suspected you are a very experienced director and actor, so I can't imagine you've staying quite between the lines.
No,
so,
I didn't. But it's nice for those who don't have it.
They give
even gives you a timeline of when you need to have things done. Well, you know, I've been there, done that.
Right. And are you in the play as well?
Yes, I am. Okay. That's been a real challenge because I have the lead role.
Oh, gee.
And I'm directing. Fortunately, Robert Shearer is my assistant director, and I've also recruited, I'll ask a couple of my veteran actors, okay, watch the scene. And
right, feedback.
Because I can't always, if I'm on stage, I can't see what I'm
right.
It looks like. So they've been tremendously helpful.
Okay, two questions, and then I'm going to keep quiet and let you talk.
Okay.
We still want to know what the play is, and I want to know whether you have a preference between being on stage or directing, or if you don't, is that why you end up doing both at the same time?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you about the play first.
Okay.
It is a play centers around the main character, Maggie Hill, who's a newly retired unmarried school teacher, which very low pensions. She sells miracle products and goes to Lady Anne Windesmere, and who has been, and she has been swindled by an unscrupulous lawyer, Elmer Strunk, played by Barry Sears.
And oh my!
She and I come up with the idea to do a bed and breakfast.
Aha! Uh-huh.
And then we get, so we have this gay antique dealer who comes and to sell all of her antiques so we can make money to open breakfast. And then we have all these different characters that come in to the bed and breakfast, some of them just hysterical.
How many in the cast?
There's 19 in the cast.
Whoa! That's huge!
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it's a big cast, and I just, you know, I had a couple people that came in within the last month, they said, "Oh, can I be in it?" And they've just done great.
Wonderful. Now, this you're not poisoning people and burying them in the basement.
No,
that's a different play.
That's a
folks.
Different play.
It's similar scenario. A couple of okay. It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. Now, did I read somewhere this is three act?
Yes, it's three acts. We have first act, and then it's about 50 minutes, and then we have intermission. And then we have act two, and then there's a little five-minute intermission just to kind of stretch your legs, and then the last act.
So,
and it lasts about, with intermissions, it's about just over 2.5 hours.
Okay, so it's a long night.
It is a long night, but it's
a lot of laughter.
Lots of laughter.
And it starts at 7, so people need to be there. Now, they can get tickets in advance, but if they don't have tickets, will you be selling them at the door?
If they're available, they're sold at the door.
Okay. So if it starts at 7 and you don't have tickets, you want to get there probably at the latest 6:40, 45.
Yeah.
And even if you do have tickets, I know from my own experience, if you get there early enough, you get the seat you want.
Correct.
Because they're not assigned seats.
Right. Doors open at 6:30.
Okay.
Tonight they open at 6:15 because
right.
of our gala reception.
Now, what does the gala reception involve?
We have wonderful hors d'oeuvres and champagne punch. And,
woohoo.
And then you can also buy wine and beer. We have that for sale. And it's just a time for people to come and celebrate another musical and opening of the Playhouse. So
fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, and there are indoor toilets.
Yes.
We're just, you know.
Yes, we have nice restaurants, restrooms, and it's a lovely facility, really.
It really is. Okay, now tell me your preference.
You know, I've been thinking about that. I never thought I would direct when I came.
Oh.
I thought, when I retired, I thought, well, I'd be like to be in a play or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, Rob Lindbergh said, well, you should do the musicals. So there I was. I really enjoy directing.
Mm-hmm.
Doing both now, like this last time with the being in it, with the lead and directing, is a lot.
You know,
my mind is full of stuff.
Yeah.
I think I would rather either do one or the other, either be the director, which is great, or be an actor.
Right.
But to do both, I'd rather not do. Mm-hmm. It's just, and I've never really said, oh, well, I'm going to be in this one. It just, we didn't have someone for this lead part. And so,
You step right up. Well, I have heard that. Let's put it this way. I've never heard anyone say, I chose to be the director and to have a lead part. I mean, if you need a little tiny bit part, walk-on part, that's one thing.
Right.
I've heard that before. The thing is, I can't even imagine doing both because you really have to cut your mind off, especially once the play opens. You have to, you know, usually or often first night you give notes, but yikes.
Yeah.
If you've been...
Well, I'm blessed with a wonderful cast, and they do all of the set changes. And
great.
A few days ago, I said, all right, guys, you're on your own.
Good.
You know what
Good.
To do, and Good. they are great. I mean, they know when to get things on, when to get things off. And if some little snafu happens, you know, so be it. But they're really in tune. They've got their notes. And
beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, folks, so here's the deal. Tonight, as you heard, is opening night. At 6:15 with an opening gala. Most nights, or most days too, it's a half an hour before the show.
Right.
So tonight and tomorrow night, next week and the following week. So it's 3 weekends at 7 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, and Sundays, three
Correct.
Weekends at 2 p.m.
Yes.
So you're doing nine shows altogether, if my math is right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Whoa. I mean, you guys decided we've been gone for 2 years. We're going to do it. So wonderful. Well, if you were just directing, this would be inappropriate. But since you're in the play, too, I will wish you break a leg. And 19 people in the cast. Yeah. Okay. Rita Smith is my guest. She is the director and the lead person in the musical comedy A Bag Full of Miracles by, I think you said, Tom Northam?
Yes.
And she is also the president of Peninsula Players, which, is that a nonprofit?
Yes.
Of course. What theater group could ever be profitable? But it is a nonprofit, so you can check that out and support Peninsula Players. The theater is the River City Playhouse in at 127 Lake Street in Ilwaukee, Washington. It's on the peninsula. I noticed at the beginning of our conversation, Rita said, talking about actors and stuff, she said, people come from across the river. Well, she was talking about people coming from Oregon to Washington. We usually say across the river from Washington to Oregon, but in fact, we are actually one community.
Absolutely.
With the river, like the River City Playhouse, the river brings us together. So wonderful. Have a great run. And thanks to all of your people, Rita and Robert Shearer, who is the assistant director. And have a great time.
Oh, we will.
Now you can relax and just act on stage.
We're just going to have fun and entertain our audience. And
wonderful.
Hopefully they'll leave laughing and feeling good.
Good. We all need that right now.
Yes, we do.
So, okay. Thanks so much, Rita Smith.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
And I did mention that today is theater day. So we've got another theater coming up that's running a play right now. And I will get to them in a minute. First, I am going to attempt to play a piece of music by the Horse Feathers, who are in concert at the Liberty Theater tomorrow night at 7:30. You can go to Liberty Astoria for your tickets, or you can get them at the door. You absolutely need vaccination cards or on your phone. Don't say nobody told you.
Memories on their minds. They were caught red-handed, wasting time, raising.
And again, they are at the Liberty tomorrow evening at 7:30 p.m. That's 12th and Commercial. And LibertyAstoria.org. Let me tell you what's happening. And in case I've run out of time, because my next guest has a bag full of events to announce. So tonight, the 10:15 Theater at 10:15 Commercial is featuring the play Art. Tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30, it is the last weekend. So this is your only opportunity. And I saw it last week, and it's hilarious and thoughtful. The coaster, we're going to get to that in a minute. I just tipped my hand. Anita here in Astoria is featuring Anouk de Klerk, presenting three new black and white films at 7 o'clock. That's 1312 Commercial. Dave Drury is at the Bridgewater Bistro, 5:30 to 8. This is all tonight. And this weekend is the Oregon Ghost Conference. That's OregonGhostConference.com in Seaside. Also, the Adrift and the Buoy, I think, are sharing Rick Swanger and solo at the Buoy and with the Little Known Band at the Adrift tonight, 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock. Tomorrow night, Horse Feathers at the Liberty. The Hoffman has artist and poet Alana Garige. The poetry, it's an all-day workshop, The Poetry and Artistry of Trees. Go to hoffmanarts.com. And it's the last weekend for their show. And Art Loft is featuring intermediate calligraphy classes for 4 weeks from 10:30 to 12:30. That's at 106 3rd Street, Art Loft. Sunday, Fort George is featuring Humbird from 6 to 8. And the AVA is open. Usually, it used to be Friday and Saturday. Now it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Don't miss the show there, Our Place. Nitsaiko Ili, it's photos, artifacts, information, history, beautiful show, Chinook Indian Nation. And in the afternoon at 4 p.m. is a very exciting Astoria Uke Band. No, Uke Orchestra. That's ukuleles, folks. That's at the Charlene Larson Center for the Performing Arts, a.k.a. The PAC. And now, to tell us about what's going on in Cannon Beach is Patrick Lathrop. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Carol. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, I kept reading more and more and more stuff happening at the Coaster. In addition, if I'm correct, the Coaster Theater is celebrating its 50th year. Is that right?
That's right. 1972 was when the Coaster Theater was officially founded.
Wow. Are any of the original people still around?
Yes, there are. In fact, we're going to be having a birthday party on Wednesday, June 29th. And we found an article somewhere that said Portland State University opens such and such a show on June 29th. To the newly remodeled Coaster Theater.
Oh, wow.
We're using June 29th as our actual birth date. So we're going to have a party that day. It's going to start out in the courtyard from about 2 to 5, and I'll have art activities and a stage of talent and just some fun things to do and play. And then we'll take a little break and then move indoors. And then we're going to have a big birthday party here at the theater with raffles and auctions and giveaways and all sorts of fun things. It's going to be a 1970s theme, and we'll have a 1970s costume contest.
Oh, boy.
As well as a lot of 1970s music playing. And then I'm going to produce a little show that's going to incorporate film clips of people talking about the theater and also presenting some people live.
Oh.
And within the film and the live, I'm hoping to pull in quite a few people who have been, who were here either involved with the coaster 50 years ago or at least involved with Cannon Beach, because I'm considering this a celebration of Cannon Beach as well.
Wonderful. Yeah.
I just ran into a gal who told me she, you know, Paul Revere and the Raiders played here at one point in the 60s when they were just getting started.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that she had actually danced to Paul Revere and the Raiders.
Wow.
And that she used to roller skate here. And so I'm actually seeking people, people who have that kind of history, to please come and approach me and let me interview you and let me chat with you about your experiences back then.
That's great. So you're inviting folks. How would you like them to get in touch with you?
Oh, if that's the case, if they wanted to be part of the our film our film out thingamajig, I can't think of the right word. Or just be share some information with me, they can email me, which is executivedirector@coastertheater.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good, because that's a great call out, and you got plenty of time. I bet there are people around here who have great stories. I was reading Reinmar Bartel's book on the artists of Cannon Beach. And I know he was just going to put together a lightweight thing, and he ended up getting deeper and deeper. And so fascinating stories of that time. So that's a great...
Yeah, I hope to get Reinmar in here to speak a little bit. I hope to get Peter Lindsay.
Oh, yeah.
just a lot of those. You know, I'm gonna try to do something very funny with Paul Duber.
Oh, yeah.
Toomey and Cammy, and only that we've done My Fair Lady twice, and Paul played Henry Higgins both times.
Mm.
And one time Colleen was his Eliza, and one time Cammy was his Eliza. And so I've chatted with them about this, but I want to do something called the Dueling Elizas.
Oh, this is going to be a blast. Actually,
yeah, that kind of real fun, silly stuff.
Yeah, I have. It sounds, from the way you're talking, it could turn into a weekend rather than just a night, you know, because there's so many fun things that might come out of the woodwork, people with ideas to add to yours. So please keep us posted on that. Maybe you'll have to come back and bring somebody with you to talk about that. So that's towards the end of June. Now, we're still in March, the end, that's 3 months, but you have a schedule packed, including the 39 Steps, which opened last weekend and is running through April 16th. And I understand it's Hitchcock, but is it really Hitchcock? Or did somebody write a play about, or what is that?
Well, it's called Hitchcock Meets Hilarity.
Okay.
So they have taken the 39 Steps. He's taken it, and I can't think of the author right now. Mm-hmm. I don't have it in front of me. Hold on 1 second.
Well, I read that there are 150 characters with a cast of 5. So I'm thinking... I don't know whether they're each going to say one word at a time or whether they just are going to talk very fast or what.
What they've done is it's adapted by Patrick Barlow from the novel by John Buchan.
Oh.
From the Alfred Hitchcock movie. So they've taken the Alfred Hitchcock movie,
mm-hmm.
which is a thriller, and they've made it into a comedy. So... one character, Richard Hennay, is played by one person throughout the whole show. And then a female character plays 3 different leads. And then 3 other characters, which are the clowns, play all the other characters. They play the policemen and the Scottish people and the newspaper people and the sales train, the salesmen on the train. They play all those characters.
Can you tell us?
Back and forth.
Who are your actors? Since there's only 5, the Peninsula Players had 19, so I didn't ask Rita to name them. But you've only got 5 actors. Can you tell us who they are?
I sure can. Richard Hennay is being played by Kurt Owens.
Okay.
Kurt's fairly new to the Coaster Theater. He lives up on the Washington Peninsula, so we're really happy to have him. Margot McClellan, who does quite a bit of work here between us and the Riverbend players, she's playing Annabella, Pamela, and Margaret. Frank Dragotnik, who's a very familiar face on our stage, he's playing the Crofter and Professor Jordan. And then Kate LaCause, you know Kate.
Mm-hmm.
And then John Hoff. John's fairly new to us also. He was in The Picture of Dorian Gray.
Mm-hmm.
But Kate and John are the two clowns. And they play all these different characters.
Right,
and they
right.
are hysterical.
I can imagine. Kate is something else. She directs and she plays. Plus, she has a full-time job with one of our fabulous environmental groups, but and works with children in theater. So she's right up there for me, and so fun and talented. But you have a terrific group, which I have to say, one of your regulars. Is in the play at the 10:15, and that would be David Sweeney.
David Sweeney's playing in it, and I had tickets for last night, and I had some things come up, and I couldn't make it.
Oh, I hope.
It was my only opportunity.
Oh dear, maybe they'll bring it back again because it's hilarious.
Really
David,
things about it. Yeah,
David is. Off the charts. I mean, you know, how he uses his face and the whole thing. But it was hilarious. So I think we've got hilarity going on all up and down the coast. in El Waco, in Astoria, and now in Cannon Beach. So the 39 Steps is, I like it, Hitchcock meets hilarity. That's what confused me, is because I don't think of Hitchcock as being particularly funny. As a matter of fact, he scares me. So
yeah, exactly.
I couldn't figure out how did this go from him to this. But
yeah, so it's a big spoof. It's a spoof on the film.
Right. And it's playing Fridays and Saturday nights through April 16th, except for April 2nd. Now, tell us why it's not happening April 2nd. Of course, you wouldn't leave the stage bare.
No. We're having our second of... we're trying to do... this spring, we're doing monthly concerts to celebrate our 50th anniversary. Last month, this month, March, we featured Tom Grant and Shelley Rudolph on March 12th. This month, April 2nd, we're featuring Curtis Salgado out of Portland. I'm sure you've heard of him.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Big name, big, really, we're real excited for the show. It's the 2nd of April. Tickets are available online. We're also offering a special discount to anybody staying at a Cannon Beach hotel, vacation rental, or RV park.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go onto our website, coastertheater.com, you can see information for Curtis Salgado. And he's not sold out yet. We still have tickets available if people want to come join us.
Well, I just so happen to have a piece of music by Curtis Salgado right here. So I don't know if you can hear it.
I can.
Okay. Let's have a listen, and then we'll come back to what else is going on at the Coaster in Cannon Beach. And you're all listening to KMUN, Arts Live and Local.
I always thought I'd be alone, and I never found that special girl, someone I could call my own. You lifted me up like you were sent from above, and you saved me from myself with your love, your healing love. That's what it was, girl, healing love. Baby, I remember the night you told me all of your fears. You opened up your to me, yes you did, and I wiped away all of the tears. like I was sent from above, and I save you from yourself with my love, our healing love.
Yeah, it's all about healing love. That's what we're doing here through the arts. So Curtis Salgado, that's from, I think that was from a 2016 album that he did, Healing Love. Okay, so that is on April 2nd, and folks can get their tickets. Tell us again where the tickets are.
Acostatheater.com is the website.
Okay, and that's theater with an R-E. Not
that's
to
right.
be confused with the 1015, which is E-R.
Oh,
or the Liberty, which is R-E. We don't want to be consistent, how boring that would be. So,
completely.
Okay. Okay. And so, tell us what else is happening.
Well, in addition to Tom and Curtis, we also will have in May, we're going to have Three-Legged Torso.
Woohoo! My favorites.
In June, we're going to have Aaron Large Catholic.
Yes.
Yes,
of
he's
course.
Very talented. He's been here a few times. So he's going to be here in June. Then we've got coming up, we're having auditions for Murder on the Orient Express, Agatha Christie's. And those are coming up April 12th and 13th. And in preparation for that, and we have a lot of information out, but I'm trying to get more. But we're going to have an audition orientation workshop on Saturday, April 9th, from 1 to 2:30 here at the Coaster Theater. And we're going to explore the audition process, including warm-ups and cold readings, monologues, songs, movement, dance, all sorts of things, in an effort to, one, encourage people to audition who maybe are afraid to because they don't know what it's about or exactly what's involved. We're hoping to kind of demystify the audition process. And again, just encourage people to come have fun at this workshop, and hopefully that will encourage them to audition for our future plays.
I think
they're putting, like I said, Murder on the Orient Express.
Right.
And then we'll be auditioning Clue and Gramercy Ghost and Scrooge also later in the year.
I think that's brilliant. I saw that. That's on April 9th at the Coaster. And I thought that was brilliant. Cold readings. I wrote it down even. Songs, movement, dance, monologues, warm-up. I agree. Get more people to demystify is the word. Although it's nice for people to go to theater and feel the mystery, it's even better to go and be part of the theater and the arts if you can. And if you are nervous about it, check this workshop out. Patrick, is all of this information at coastatheater.com?
Yes, it's on our website.
It is. Okay. Because when I read that, I thought, what a smart thing to do, because just 3 days later, you have auditions for Murder on the Orient Express. And I see that Jenny Tronier? Tronier. She does the French pronunciation.
It's the French, yes.
Yes. She is going to be directing. Has she been directing much at the Coaster?
Jenny directs on occasion. She's a very, very good director, but she's so busy as the marketing director in operations.
Right.
She doesn't usually have the time, but when a piece really appeals to her, she'll express an interest, and she expressed one in this, so I decided to go ahead and go with her. So
nice.
Yeah, she'll do a really nice job with this.
Great. Okay, so now you mentioned some other plays. What did you say? Clue?
Yeah, we're doing Clue the musical. We've done that twice here before.
Mm-hmm.
Part of our selection of our season this year is to celebrate our 50th. So we've chosen shows that we have done previously that were successful.
Right.
With the exception of Murder on the Orient Express, we do typically do an Agatha Christie every year, but we haven't done this particular one. But we're just kind of adhering to the Agatha Christie concept. But coming up after Murder on the Orient Express, which is our, well, we have Barefoot in the Park coming up in May. Then Murder on the Orient Express will be in July. Then we have Clue the Musical, which is a lot of fun because the audience actually picks the ending.
Mm-hmm.
The audience determines who did it in what room with what weapon.
Right.
That's a lot of fun. Go ahead.
Well, I had heard about that. I grew up with that. That was my favorite board game growing up. And you know, we all, those of us who grew up with it, joke about it. Sometimes it just spills out, you know. Was that the wrench in the green room with Mrs. Peacock or whatever, you know? But I had not seen the production until I got caught in a YouTube thing. And because I don't have Hulu or Netflix or anything like that. And suddenly I had the opportunity to watch it. I was all by myself laughing my head off. And and I just loved it. And then the Astor Street Opry Company produced it. They did a teen production. It's a little bit different, but it's the same idea. And they did that in February and till the middle of March. And it, the idea that you get to choose the ending because it ends. But then, whoop, not quite. And then they come back with another scenario and another scenario. Just so fun. And especially for those of us who have those great associations. So I send that out to my brothers and long-lost parents. But great fun. So you got Murder on the Orient Express, Clue. And did you say Barefoot in the Park as well?
Barefoot is our spring show. That'll be opening in May.
And who's...
And that's directed by Susie Brown.
Okay. That's... I thought I heard something about that. And that's in May. Okay. And then, did you say Gramercy?
Gramercy Ghost. We did that a few years back in the fall. We're doing it in the fall. It's a romantic comedy about a woman who inherits a house, and then there's these Revolutionary War ghosts that are inhabiting it. So it's a romantic, a ghostly romantic comedy.
Okay. I like the word comedy in there because, Patrick, I think you, I don't remember whether you were in the play, but I know you were at the Coaster already when I saw a play that gave me nightmares. And that was, what was it called? Violet's Room or Veronica's Room?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my God.
No, it was called, I was in it.
Yeah,
it was,
I thought you were.
Gave me nightmares having to do it.
Oh, it was horrible. I mean, it was so well done that it was horrible because.
Yeah, Veronica's Room.
Veronica's Room.
Oh, yeah, what a creepy, creepy.
Absolutely.
Show that was.
It still comes back to me. I went with a bunch of theater folks, maybe even Susie Brown and Tony and Nancy, a whole bunch of theater folks from Astoria. And I think they were laughing at me rather than with me, but whatever it was, that thing just kept coming back. Because I ended up in Eastern Oregon in an old hotel all by myself because I was working in a school. And I just kept picturing what was going on. So I hope that's not happening.
That was 2013.
Oh, wow.
That's been with you for a while.
Okay, well, I need The Exorcist to take it out. Don't do it. I've never seen that one either. Okay, well, we have a full schedule at the Coaster Theater in Cannon Beach, and that behooves the theater, which is celebrating its 50th year. And a big congratulations. Patrick, how long have you been there?
I've been at the theater since 2009, and I've been in my position now since spring of 2013. So next year it'll be 10 years.
Okay. Lovely. Well, thanks for all the work you do there, and thanks to everybody who brings the Cannon Beach Theater alive. It's a sweet theater. Every seat is good. graduated seats. And what are your rules and regulations these days?
We are still adhering to the COVID protocols of requiring patrons to show proof of vaccination with a photo ID and to wear masks indoors.
Okay.
We're going to continue that through the 39 steps, and then we will reevaluate. But we're being very, very cautious and conservative, only based on the last time mask mandates were lifted.
Yeah.
It was a few weeks later that we had to put them back on.
So I agree.
Super, super cautious.
I agree. I'm all for staying with the program. And if you have a choice, folks, in my humble opinion, wear a mask, because I know you're all vaccinated, or you wouldn't be listening to the arts because you can't go anywhere. But keep your masks on. Let's make sure we all stay healthy so we can take advantage of all these great things. Thank you so much for coming in, Patrick, coming in on the phone. And I look forward to seeing you soon at one of these fabulous events or more.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Carol. We so appreciate your support.
Great. Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Folks, you're listening to KMUN Arts Live and Local. Thanks again to all of you who support community radio, along with community theater and arts. And I have some locals here. Shekpi is playing, if all goes well. In my, the poster I saw, which is a great poster, tells me that they are playing on Thursday, the 31st of March. That's this coming Thursday, 5 to 7, at the new Wineside bar or winery at Pier 39. Let's hear a little bit. That would be Joey Patnaud and Shecky. That's Mike Metzner.
Se baila la cumbia, rumba, bolero, mambo y danzón. En México se baila todo lo que se siente en el corazón. En México, mi tierra linda, donde he encontrado mi gran amor. En México, mi patria chica, donde ha dejado a mi corazón. Ay, Lupita, baila cumbia, sabrosita, con tu salsa, que me gusta, mi lingosa, con mi ritmo, ay, cariñosa. Donde he encontrado mi
Oh, yeah. Woo! Hey, folks, if you like Latin music, that's Shecky, by the way, singing in Espanol, and Joey, Pee Wee Patnaud, and also Jeff Garden on snare drum, and Josh Bear on upright bass. And thanks for being here. Peace and joy, and KMUN.